chapter 41,
verse 25, we're going to pick up in the life of Joseph. You know, a wise person learns from the lives of others. Why make the mistakes that others have made? Why put yourself into a position as the only person that ever lived that has to make all the same mistakes that everybody else made? But God has given to us in His Word the lives of men and women that we can look at and study, and we can see their lives from beginning to end. And we basically can live their lives with them by studying the Scriptures and seeing what turns those lives took based upon the decisions that they made. And the wise person pays attention to that. The wise family can look at other members of the family and say, now this is what happens to a person that does that. Children. They dredge up the black sheep of the family and use that as a teaching tool in their family. And that child, if that child has any wisdom at all, will learn from that. So it's good to have the life of Joseph. It's good to see where Joseph came from, and based upon those experiences and those things that the Lord put him through, where he came out. And we incorporate that into our lives, and we're the better for it. Remember where Joseph is in our story. He has been loosed from prison. He is standing in the court of Pharaoh. The Pharaoh has related to him his dream. Joseph has said, "It is not in me to interpret the dream. God," or Elohim, "will provide the interpretation." So Joseph was not a self-serving person, not a person that exalted himself, but Joseph was a person that exalted God. There's a lesson for our young people. Look at Joseph, how he exalted God, and he was not interested in self-esteem. He was interested in God-esteem. Esteem God, see? Put your time on that effort, son or daughter. You don't have much time to live. Don't waste it on esteeming yourself. Put it to God esteem, as Joseph did. So Joseph is in the court of Pharaoh, and he says unto Pharaoh in verse 25, "The dream of Pharaoh is one." Remember, Pharaoh had two dreams. But Joseph said, "The dream of Pharaoh is one dream," or one interpretation. The same interpretation applies to each dream. "God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." Now, God has shown us what he is about to do. As Christians, we are not ignorant of coming events. See? Joseph's not alone in this. The Pharaoh is not alone in this. We as Christians, as children of God, are not ignorant of what our Father is about to do. We ought to praise God for that, that we don't have to go through this life being ignorant. We look at these world events and we praise God because they are one step closer to where God is bringing us. See? So God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. I can see Joseph doing interpreting this because he's so confident in the Lord. See, not confident in himself, but confident in the Lord. "And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine." Two periods of 7 years. "This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh." Now the "I" in that sentence is God. See, not Joseph. The "I" in that sentence is God. God has revealed to the Pharaoh through dreams what he is about to do. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Pharaoh is no longer troubled. Previous verses tells us that Pharaoh was troubled, but now he has light. You see, so Joseph begins to give that which God has given him, for all interpretations come from God, and Joseph has made that very clear here. Oh, Elohim will give us the meaning of this. It is not in me. And we also ought to see in this narrative what I pointed out last week, what we're told in Proverbs, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of waters, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Who put the dream in Pharaoh's mind? See? Who put the dream in Pharaoh's mind to turn Pharaoh toward Joseph? God did. Do you think that Joseph would have stood in the court of Pharaoh, been loosed from prison, hastily dressed in other than prison clothes, and shaved his beard and rushed into the presence of Pharaoh unless it was God that put the dream in Pharaoh's mind? No. See? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And we see this also in the readiness for the Pharaoh to accept this interpretation. Joseph was only out of prison a few minutes. As far as the Pharaoh was concerned, he was only attested to by his butler. See? What status did this slave have to impress the Pharaoh without any corroboration? He had no status. The butler said, "Oh, yes, I remember the sins of the past. There was one in prison named Joseph who interpreted my dream and the baker's dream, and he was brought hastily in the presence of Pharaoh." See? But we see that the Lord is working in the heart of Pharaoh, and he sees in Joseph a testimony and an authority that is based upon God's presence in Joseph's life. So this caused the Pharaoh to immediately believe him and to put his trust in Joseph. See, you want to be a trustworthy person? Then trust in God. So Joseph impressed the Pharaoh that the dreams were a communication to the God Pharaoh from the true God, Elohim. This was a earthly God from the heavenly God. For Pharaoh was thought of as a god, wasn't he? Portrayed as a god, looked upon by his people as a god. So here we see from the true God a message to the God Pharaoh concerning what he was about to do in the earth. It's interesting how the flow of authority was here. The dream didn't come to Joseph. See, the dream didn't come to Joseph. It came to the Pharaoh who was in charge. And we're told here that every Egyptian magician must have agreed with this interpretation. They may have wondered, why didn't we see this interpretation in Pharaoh's dreams? Really, when you read the interpretation, you say, I should have thought of that. And I'm sure the magicians, why didn't you think of that? We could have looked good in Pharaoh's eyes. Boy, that's such a simple interpretation. Why didn't we think of that? See? Why didn't so obvious a solution come to us? But God was in charge. It was as if the scales had been removed from their eyes when Joseph spoke the interpretation of the dreams. You know, God can shut up minds too. He can open up minds, he can shut up minds. See? So we see here that God shut their minds to this interpretation because he had a servant who was to interpret in a way to promote his will. You know, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm pleased with that. I'm tired of man's will on earth. You know, aren't you? Don't you look forward to the time when righteousness shall reign? My goodness, you watch the television and the events of this weekend and you see the hypocrisy. Don't do something because it's right. Do something because it looks good. See? Image. Oh, image is what we operate on, what we see. See, what we see. But God had a servant who was to interpret this dream in a way to promote his will. What's God's will here? God's will was to take out of Canaan a people, bring them into Egypt, nurture them, make them into a nation, that he might deliver them so that that nation would be a place for the Savior to come from and to bring out a people for his name. That was the plan of God here. And Joseph was the servant that was yielded to God at this time to bring this about. This was the will of God. See? Now it's also interesting to see that God will provide the Pharaoh a way of escape from the famine if he will listen to God's servant Joseph. Yes, there's going to be a famine, God says, but here's a way of escape. Yes, there's going to be judgment, but here's a way of escape. Same message in the gospel. Isn't there? The good news of the gospel. You see, Joseph in this case was the bearer of good news. I like to call this Joseph's gospel because he had a plan from God as to how to survive the famine. Isn't that what we tell about when we tell the gospel to lost people? There's a judgment coming. You're going to have to face God with your sin unless you claim the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here to save. He's the years of plenty, for the years of famine are coming. You want to escape the years of famine, don't you? Well, accept the gospel. See? So Pharaoh was faced with a famine, and he was faced with truth here. And he was faced with an opportunity to escape the famine because the years of plenty were to precede the years of famine, thus providing a way of escape. Isn't that like our God? Isn't that like our God that he gives you an opportunity to prepare? See, he gives you an opportunity to prepare for the famine that's coming by giving you years of plenty. What must be done? The Pharaoh must believe the word of God as given by his servant Joseph. That's what he has to do. Here's the word of God, Pharaoh. The dream is one. God is communicating with you. So Joseph does not hesitate in giving the interpretation. As in the butler and the baker's dreams, the numbers refer to time. Remember in the butler's and the baker's dreams, you had three branches and three baskets. What did they refer to? 3 days. Did it work out? Oh, yes. The butler was lifted up and the baker was lifted up by his neck. See, you have a choice. How do you want to be lifted up? You know, I used to lift up little kids by their ears. Did you ever lift up little kids by their ears? Well, the trick is you have them grab your wrists when you do it, see, and it appears that you're lifting them up by their ears, but you're really lifting them up by their hands. Oh, mothers get all excited about that. I don't know why. But the kids love it, don't they? Try it. But some kids don't catch on quickly. They think you're lifting them up by their ears and they don't grab your wrists very well. But you have to teach them. But three branches and three baskets refer to three ears in the butler's and the baker's dreams. And in these dreams that the Pharaoh dreamed, the seven kine and the seven ears refer to 7 years. Joseph knew it didn't refer to 7 days. We're going to have 7 days of plenty and 7 days of famine. That's not much. I can get along with 7 days of famine if I have some beans in the pantry. No, this was 7 years that this referred to. So there is a good period of 7 years and a bad period of 7 years. Good and bad. Fortunately, the good comes before the bad. You'd hate to have the famine and then the years of plenty. God gets the things right in the right order, doesn't he? Let all things be done decently in order. So the word goes out, plenty first and famine second. So most likely there were to be 7 years of nourishing floods from the Nile, but there will be 7 years where the Nile will be as lean and as the thin and ill-favored kine. Remember, Egypt is nourished by the Nile. They don't pray for rain in Egypt. They look for the Nile to flood and to bring that water into the land at certain times of the year, so that their crops will be nourished. Well, here it's indicated that there's going to be 7 years where this functions very, very well. But look out for the 7 years where it doesn't function. You're going to have to carry buckets. See, carrying buckets to the fields is not very efficient. God is revealing this to Pharaoh. The Pharaoh knows, even though he is thought of as a god, that the Nile is what Egypt depends upon for bountiful harvests. So God is good, for he reveals through Joseph what is about to come to pass. So Joseph, as a good servant of God, as a faithful servant of God, who has acknowledged that God gives him what he has to give, which is a good pattern for us, he tells Pharaoh that God will shortly bring to pass events of which the Pharaoh will know ahead of time. Isn't that wonderful for a leader to know? Here's a leader. He knows what's going to happen for the next 14 years as far as agriculture is concerned. That's pretty important. Isn't food pretty important? Did you eat this morning? Are you going to eat this afternoon? Are you going to eat tonight? Are you going to eat tomorrow? Yeah, food's pretty important. Seems like the most important thing with this body, isn't it? So 14 years, this leader knows what's going to take place. But what does he have to do? He has to believe God, so he can prepare during the good times for the bad times, because the thing is established by God. Well, that's the message of the Bible, isn't it? Are you prepared for the bad times? If you read the Bible, there's bad times coming, isn't there? I don't want to be around here when the bad times come. You think these are bad times? These aren't bad times according to what is coming. See? I want to be lifted up, not by my neck, But I want to be lifted up and taken out of this world and then let the bad times come. See, that's the message of the gospel. That's the message of the gospel. We're living in the time of plenty. See, we're living in the time of plenty, for the gospel is going out plenteous. The message is plenteous, but the famine is coming. So the Pharaoh must believe God so he can prepare during the good times for the bad times, because the thing is established by God. And by the way, if you're prospering now financially, you ought to put something away. Put a little bit away for the bad times. See, that's a good principle. Put a little away for the bad times. See? So Joseph communicates to the Pharaoh and his court that what the dreams tell will without a doubt come to pass, because Elohim has spoken and it will most assuredly come to pass. I like that authority. I like the message that Joseph gave, because he gave it with authority. He didn't say, well, I think this might happen. I hope I'm interpreting it right. I'm wrestling with this. No, he spoke with authority. Elohim has spoken and it will shortly come to pass. You know, that's what we're supposed to do when we proclaim the scriptures. We're not supposed to be namby-pamby, weak-kneed preachers, but we're supposed to speak with authority that which the Word of God proclaims as oracles of God. Isn't that right? We stand on the Word of God. What more foundation sure can you stand on than the Word of God? See, so Joseph communicates this. You better prepare for the future, the next 14 years. God has given you help to know what's coming, and it most assuredly will shortly come to pass. And then he says this, and what will come to pass shall be so grievous that the plenty of the first 7 years will be forgotten in 7 years of famine. Oh, everybody's boasting about the economy today. Oh, we've never had it so good. The Dow Jones is going up, up, up. My bank account is increasing. My mortgage is paid off. Yeah, but you'll forget all that when the famine comes. See, you'll forget all that when the famine comes if you're not prepared. See? Oh, it's going to be so grievous here, Pharaoh. Yeah, the plenty is going to be just bountiful. The crops are going to come in and the warehouses are going to be full, and everybody's going to be saying, what a wonderful Pharaoh we have. But when the years of famine come, they'll say, oh, this Pharaoh has really let us down. We're starving. Our children are starving. We're almost to the point of eating our children. That's how grievous it's going to become during the time of famine. Now, therefore, Joseph says in verse 33, now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Good advice. Let Pharaoh do this, and let them appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. That's 20%. This is a double tithe for the next 7 years. But just remember, you got 7 years to spread this out in. One-fifth into the 7 years, or seven-fifths for 7 years. That's a famine, isn't it? The fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Where are you going to keep this? You're going to keep it in the cities where the people are. And that food shall be For store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. We want to get through this. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Oh, how Joseph had impressed upon the Pharaoh the urgency of this. And how the Pharaoh accepted this because God had turned his heart towards Joseph and towards the interpretation. So a good principle to operate by is displayed here. Joseph gave fair warning to the Pharaoh, but he followed his warning by good counsel. There's a good principle to operate in the home, isn't it? Oh yeah, son, I'm going to give you warning, but I'm also going to give you good counsel. Don't just warn your children, but teach them at the same time. See, teach them at the same time. These parents, if you don't stop, then I'm going to kill you. Well, that's foolish, you liar, you. Well, not always. Doing it more and more. Maybe they don't want to lie, Pastor. They say, I don't want to lie. Murder, yeah, but not lying. See? But Joseph just doesn't say, famine's coming, but he gives good counsel here of what to do. So Joseph was appointed by God to be counselor to the Pharaoh, and he did not shirk from this duty. So he goes beyond the interpretation of what he was asked to do by Pharaoh, and he goes that extra mile and becomes the counselor to the Pharaoh. So he advises the Pharaoh to look for a man where the government can be upon his shoulder. Don't you see Christ in this? Oh, he's a counselor where the government is upon his shoulder. That's why we see so much in the story of Joseph of Christ. Now, as with Christ, he was sent by God with a message to tell men how to prepare for the future. The judgment of the famine was coming, and if you believe Joseph, you will store up during the fat years in order to survive the lean years. What a message from God that was. What grace of God that was. So he says, now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Joseph didn't have anything in his heart to promote himself here. He wasn't saying, well, if I say this, maybe I'll get promoted. No, Joseph's heart was sincere here. Look out for a man across Egypt. See, and set him over the land of Egypt. Psalms 105 says it this way. Verse 20 through 22. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance to bind his princes. I like that. How do you think Joseph accomplished what he did in those first 7 years? He bound the princes. And he bound them in the second 7 years too. We want more food in my district. Why are you taking 20%? Bind that prince. Bind that prince. I'm speaking for the Pharaoh. See? So Joseph had the authority to bind the princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. See, Joseph had a mission here in Egypt. He had a mission of authority, and he had a mission of teaching the senator's wisdom. So the man Joseph was looking for had to be a man that was discreet. You know, we think of discreet in a different way, I think. But the discreet of Scripture here means to separate mentally or to distinguish. You know, if you have that kind of ability, you've got some ability that you can thank God for, to separate mentally or distinguish. That's something that's lacking in our country today, the ability to separate mentally See, the ability to look at complex things and to break them down into their component or simple parts. So this is the only way to understand a complex matter, is to break it down into its component parts. That's why a scientist looks at everything through a microscope. He wants to see what this thing is made of. He wants to look at its component parts. See? So to prepare for a 7-year famine and to ensure that there will be enough food for a nation will require a man who can look at this complexity and see all the simple parts that make up this complexity. That was not an easy task. The Psalms kind of revealed to us that it took some binding of princes to do this. It took someone with authority to do this. If you're going to take 20%, that was a tax, basically, wasn't it? I think our taxes are more than that now. No wonder we're chafing at the bit. See, but that was a tax, mostly likely on top of the other tax that they had. So it took someone with the ability to be discreet, to be able to separate mentally, to know that the simple parts, knowing the simple parts, will lead to simple solutions. And this is the only way a man can have keen insight into the situation and its needs. You know, this applies to everything we do, don't we? If you're a manager, or if at home, in your shop or in your kitchen or wherever it is, trying to take the complex and making it into simple parts. So Pharaoh accepts Joseph's counsel. It really is quite amazing, and you can see the working of God in this. Because Joseph could have been easily thought of as a deceiver or even a madman. Perhaps he could have been accused of being in league with those who would profit from such a scheme. See? If you are able to put aside for years of famine, you could profit for that, perhaps. But it's obvious that this is the Lord's doing. For the Lord is turning the heart of the king. And I like this last sentence. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Don't you suppose that things that were good in the eyes of Pharaoh were pretty much automatically good in the eyes of the servants? This is a one-party system here. We did have partisanship, but that's all they had was partisanship in Egypt, for they only had one party, and that was the Pharaoh's party. And all the magicians were looking at the Pharaoh and seeing what kind of countenance the Pharaoh had, and then they would have the same countenance. So we see the Lord is turning the heart of the king. Didn't have to turn the heart of the magicians. All he had to do was turn the heart of the king, and all the servants and all the magicians' hearts were turned toward the Pharaoh. But you know, we also see in the following verses a Pharaoh that appears to have wisdom to make right choices. This was the right Pharaoh for this also. For in verse 38 he says this, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is," translated you could say the divine spirit. "A man in whom the divine spirit is. A man in whom, who has a connection with the divine." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, and I thought this was quite discerning on the part of the Pharaoh here, because he saw someone that had a divine connection, having a opportunity to have an ability to do what he needed to do. Not necessarily that he had the ability, but he had the connection with the one who had the ability. I like that. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this," see, there's the connection. There is none so discreet and wise as thou art. See, you're rightly connected, Joseph. Isn't that what presidents look for a lot of times? The right connections of a person to promote? Well, here he said, you're rightly connected to the divine spirit, Joseph. Thou shalt be over my house. And according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Second in command, carte blanche for Joseph to rule. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. So Joseph has been loosed from prison. Joseph has given glory to God. The Pharaoh's heart was turned toward Joseph. The Pharaoh saw that this Joseph had a connection with the divine spirit. And that's the kind of person that I need for this crisis. So here we see now Joseph, a ruler over the land of Egypt. Good ending, but it's not the ending yet. It's even going to be gooder as we proceed along these lines. Father, thank you for your goodness to us in giving us this life of Joseph. Help us, Lord, to be wise, to read the scriptures, to appropriate the scriptures for our lives, that we don't walk the wrong way, but that we walk according to the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen.